What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, February 14th, 2018, Valentine's Day! I'm one of your Valentines, Greg Miller, alongside the rogue one, Gary Whitta.
It's V-Day!
V-Day indeed.
I love some V-Day.
If you're an audio listener, Gary brought a big old box of chocolates.
Some cheap chocolates from Walgreens.
We have been going to town on these guys already.
As I said earlier, the really smart thing to do is to buy these tomorrow,
sure,
when they're all, you know, half price and they're trying to get the shelves clear for what, Easter, I guess, is the next thing?
I think that's a big one. Well, St. Patrick's Day before then, is that right?
Maybe.
Yeah, right, because Easter, generally April, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a weird
like
one.
As soon as they get the one thing off the shelf, like whatever the next thing is, they start immediately. There's no gap.
No, they got to get that seasonal aisle has to have something seasonal in it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just in trouble over there.
Yeah, it's amazing to me how the confectionery industry has managed to make almost every holiday about chocolate. Yeah,
sure.
Right? Valentine's Day.
Of course.
Chocolates.
What
Easter. You got to get the candy.
The basket. You got to get the
Easter
basket.
Eggs and,
yeah. Color the eggs.
Yeah. Halloween, of course. The ultimate.
I mean, come on, that's all
Halloween,
about chocolate. Yeah.
Candy.
Christmas chocolate.
I mean, it can be. It's not. I don't think it's indelible.
It totally is. Look at the advent calendar, right? You open the little box, there's
a little
piece of chocolate.
Sweet behind.
Yeah.
Just basically scoffing on candy all year round.
That's what they want you to do, right? Get that sugar in you.
What are you guys doing for Valentine's Day?
We are being very romantic. Today, we woke up early, made breakfast together.
Nice.
That was nice. Then, to be more romantic, dragged her to the office. Then after this show, we're streaming Monster Hunter World together, along with Kevin and Grimecraft.
What could be more romantic?
It doesn't get any more than that. And then tonight, going home, I'm making for her lobster spaghetti from the Joe Beef cookbook, because we love Joe Beef. And Mom, for Christmas, sent us those like frozen, like a lobster gram, sent us like the frozen lobster tails.
Okay.
What are you doing?
Nothing. We're very laid back about it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we got married at City Hall, and
so
then
I
had the quote-unquote reception at like a sandwich place across the street and had pastrami sandwiches.
We had ours at Wing Wings. You can read about it in today's Wall Street Journal.
Oh, that's right. You did, didn't you?
Yeah.
So I feel like that to me. I feel like the more the thing that you have is real,
oh, sure,
the less you got to go overboard to demonstrate it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The couples that are the most kind of laid back about it, those are the ones that have like the solid foundation.
Well,
it feels like you've got to go all out with roses and breakfast in bed and expensive dinners out. I kind of feel like you're papering over the cracks or something.
I'm not gonna go that far. I'm not gonna demonize all these people trying to make the holiday. But I hear you in terms of, I think when I was when you're young and in relationships, and I'm talking about like in high school, college, that was like, oh, Valentine's Day, you got to go big.
Yeah,
you got to be crazy about
yeah.
it. Whereas the more here, I was like, do you
want to
go out? And she's like, no, it's gonna be $1 million.
Yeah,
the same
you find yourself
like
making less of an effort.
Sure, in general, just in life.
I mean, Valentine's Day aside, that is just a general truism. As you get older, you find yourself making less of an effort.
Yeah, yeah. Just clearly.
You've got nothing to prove. You've already made your bones.
Yeah.
You know, you've got nothing to prove
this
to anyone.
This is who I
anymore.
Am.
Yeah.
And you know it's only getting worse.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, as you have commented many times in the past, I show up most days, Wednesdays for this, like in my sweats.
Yeah, Gary
I don't
got real
put
mad.
On real big boy pants.
Kevin threw that at you today. You got real mad at him because we're out of coffee and stuff.
Well, because I thought we were past giving me grief over.
Now we give you grief about everything. Speaking of,
didn't you gave me some grief the other day, right? Because I don't watch the show.
Yeah,
I don't watch the show.
Yeah.
It's not my taste. It's not for me. I'm not the audience for this show.
You know, I watch things that are good. I don't watch this.
But so I always get like this weird secondhand echo effect. Where
sure,
like my Twitter suddenly starts filling up with like, ooh, Greg, what did Greggy say about Gary? I'm like, shit, now I got to go find like what he said
this
about me.
This is how
me.
I do it. This is how I pepper in there to get the extra viewer download.
That's how you get me. It's like the Trump presidential briefing. The only way to keep me interested is to keep making it about
shiny
me.
Things.
Oh,
I
it's
share.
Just something about me. I better watch the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the last.
What did you say?
What I wanted to bring up is the fact that I love you. I've loved you for a long time. You
I
know
don't
that.
Like where this is going. I feel like you're building a cushion for
I
what is to
I wanted you to hit it off with the other hosts when I'm not around. People like, you know, Tim or Andrew or whatever.
And I have.
Well, that's the problem.
Oh, you don't,
now
oh,
I, now
you don't
hear
like it now.
You and Tim have a budding bromance on this show.
So we've
when
done,
I'm not
what,
on
three
it.
Episodes?
Yeah, and I hear they're only getting better. They're getting
every time we have a little moment, there's
yeah.
a little vibe. The audience seems to like it. Gary
they do.
And Tim.
Yeah.
Together.
Tim likes it a lot.
In the last show, we broke into a little spontaneous a cappella rendition of the Outrun.
Right? Yeah,
magical sound.
I heard about
sound
this.
Shower.
Yeah,
a magical sound shower.
Yeah.
And yeah, so what? Do you want me to like scale it back
I'm
a little
just
bit
letting
the
you
host?
Know that I I want you to be happy, and I want you to go with your heart and wherever it takes you. That's if that's what it's going to be. It's how it's got
to
be.
But you feel you just feel the need to be a little bit more special. Just, than
I don't mind
else.
Being matchmaker, bringing you guys together, because it's just Tim was so intimidated by you for the longest time. Still intimidated, but not
he
as much
be.
Now.
By now, I'd be amazed if he is by now because we've broken the ice.
You've just got that dry British Gary Whitta stuff going on. You know what I mean?
You know,
where you walk in here and you stand around and there's like no emotion on your
face. For the longest
time, like,
I used
mad?
To hear from people who would always say like that. They I come across as like standoffish or like hard to get to know or like I don't know just kind of rude sometimes and it's not that I'm that I'm just kind of introverted, you know what it's like, you don't mean
oh,
to
sure.
be rude
yeah, totally,
you're just,
totally.
Just not always in the mood to like be on and be up. I mean, you put, you know, right now I'll do it because I'm in front of a camera and you're, you know, paying me,
of course,
so I can force it. I'll be whoever you want me to be.
Yeah.
But in real life,
here's power down mode.
I am who I am, which is not really very good.
Well, I disagree. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Write in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your questions, comments, concerns. What do you think of the news? What do you think of the bad PSN names? What do you think of Shuhei Yoshida? Let me know. Then get on the air. You can, of course, consume the show by watching it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have an extra special job. You need to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listening on podcast services around the globe. No matter where you get the show, thank you for consuming it. Consider going to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Housekeeping for you. Right after this, if you're watching live on Twitch, we're doing a Monster Hunter World stream. It's me and the love of my life, Jean-Vive Saint-Ange, and then our children, Kevin and Grimecraft. Tomorrow is the hypening. Michael Huber from Easy Allies comes by to do Kinda Funny Games Daily with me, then to do the Kinda Funny Games cast with Tim, a one-on-one that you can watch live, of course, on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames for just a buck. What else does that buck get you? Tomorrow, the PlayStation VR show debuts on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can get it for $1, or you can wait till it goes live next week. And then, of course, today we're brought to you by Bombfell, but I'll tell you about that later. Gary.
Greg.
For now. Let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some Valentine's Day news. 5 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Number one, THQ Nordic continues. I just talked about this yesterday with the Blob. Continues to rebuild THQ brick by brick. They have bought the Metro/Dead Island/Saints Row publisher. This is via GameSpot. THQ Nordic, the Austria-based company currently in possession of the Darksiders, Red Faction, and DeBlob properties, has acquired Koch Media, right? Like the mayor of New York, right?
But not Koch. So it's not Koch.
Well, I don't think so, right? Koch, right?
Coach?
K-O-C-H. Coke? Wait, like Coke Media.
Which one is it with like the Coke brothers? That's Coke, right? You pronounce it Coke.
I think so. But how do you... But like what about the old mayor and guy from People's Court?
That's Koch.
But, that's
so
how
I don't know which one this is.
All right, jury's out. Koch Media, the parent company of Dead Island, Saints Row, and Metro publisher Deep Silver. The deal, which is set for approval later today, was worth approximately $149 million. The acquisition means that THQ Nordic now owns all of Koch Media's assets, which includes its studios, intellectual properties, and licenses such as the Metro game series. Koch Media's business also includes films, which are created, quote, primarily for German and Italian-speaking territories, end quote. Noteworthy studios that are part of the acquisition include Volition, which is responsible for the Saints Row series, Dam Buster, which is behind Homefront, and Fish Labs Entertainment, known for the Galaxy on Fire series. Koch Media CEO will continue to be his role as the chief executive. Lars Winfors, CEO of THQ Nordic, indicated that Koch's studios will continue to operate as normal, with both Volition and Dam Buster working on new, unannounced AAA games, in addition to 4A's Metro Exodus. Quote, Koch Media has a long history of profitability despite losses incurred from some less successful game releases. THQ Nordic is convinced that the development studio of Deep Silver, as part of THQ Nordic, will successfully deliver at least 4 ongoing AAA game projects, including Metro Exodus, as well as the next Volition AAA release and the next Dam Buster Studio AAA release, together with a number of other game development and publishing titles. Why would you name yourself THQ? A dead company that went out of business. And then why would you keep going buying all the old THQ assets?
I'm well behind it because I didn't even know that THQ had gone out of business.
No, what? Really? Yeah, UDraw sunk them. Big time.
What sunk them?
UDraw. You remember this UDraw tablet?
Oh, for the Wii? For the Wii U?
Huge hit on...
Was that Wii?
It was Wii, what, regular Wii.
For the Wii.
It? Huge hit on regular... Or yeah. I think it was regular Wii. Huge hit on Wii. And they were like, this will sell gangbusters on everything. And they put it on PS3 and 360 and promptly sunk their business.
It?
Yeah, exactly.
And it killed them.
Yeah, 100%. Put them into a bad spot.
And that was the end of THQ.
Exactly.
But they're now reborn as...
These guys started this other thing and they bought the THQ name and they were like,
has some recognition, right?
It has recognition. And I think for the most part, though, it has recognition now. And maybe you didn't even know. Maybe I'm just talking to somebody who's paying attention every day.
I don't really follow the biz side that much.
Sure.
I get mixed up with Take-Two all the time. THQ, Take-Two,
yeah,
I get mixed up.
Yeah.
So, all right. So THQ died. But then was resurrected as THQ.
New company, new people came in. They made
THQ. But how do they have the name?
They got it, whatever, they sold it. I mean, THQ sold everything and then they got in there, got this, renamed themselves THQ Nordic, these people who started it, and then started buying back the franchises like Darksiders, Red Faction, and Da Blob.
Okay.
Perennial AA games. And God bless them, is what I say. If you can make it work as a AA studio, great. But what I'm saying is, THQ for a long time, wasn't making the best
these
stuff.
Are,
THQ
these wasn't are like not, a badge these are of not quality. Necessarily top tier franchises, but Metro is very popular.
Hey, dude, that Metro trailer they showed, right? That looked awesome. It looked really, really good.
And I will say, of course, whether or not it's ever coming back, I don't know, but I have a lot of affection for the Saints Row series as
when
well.
I talk about Darksiders, people are always coming out of the woodworks and they really like Darksiders. I'm just saying that Darksiders didn't set the world on fire.
No.
Saints Row did really well. Then for some reason, Volition went and made this Agents of Mayhem thing
that did poorly,
brought the numbers down.
Do you think they'll ever make another Saints Row?
1,000%. That is definitely what they're working on right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
but by the time
me.
They get here, will we care? That's a big question.
I mean, I will always care because I enjoyed those games so much. It's going to be interesting if they do bring back Saints Row because the climate has changed so much.
Exactly.
I mean, it's a very, you know, politically incorrect game and has been
dildo
for a long time.
Dildo baseball bats and all that stuff.
Yeah. I wonder how that might play in today's climate.
As we get further and further from the last Saints Row release, which wasn't that long, right? 2015 was Get Out of Hell because they came by and did it.
That was the last major deal, and they did like Saints Save Christmas and some other little
DLC pieces.
And even
that, I don't think it was on par with the Saints Row, or like in terms of reception, in terms of market share, was on par with what the other Saints Row had done. I would worry by the time you get, like, if Volition's working on it right, Agents of Mayhem just came out last year, but let's say they had another team working on whatever the next Saints Row is. Let's say, best case scenario, you're playing it next year, 2019, for Saints Row 5, I guess it would be. Do people care? I feel like this kind of gets into a Crackdown syndrome, where I have a lot of great memories of Crackdown.
I mean, this could well be one of these things where my affection, there's a lot of very deep affection for it, but it's a relatively small base of people that have that affection.
Yeah.
And it's not enough to actually support a game, you know, like a AAA scale budgeted game like
right,
that.
Right, because when you think back to when people loved Crackdown, and I'm not trying to demonize Crackdown 3 coming out. I'm just saying that I don't think Crackdown 3 has the juice behind it in the same way that I don't think Gears did or Halo did when those latest releases came out.
Mm.
I think you go,
no,
man.
I think it's always been considered like a second tier. Again, very rabid bullseye fans in the center, but not a broad base of support.
Yeah, and I just wonder by the time you get there, it sounds great to want another Saints Row, and like because I enjoyed my Saints Row time, but then it's going to get there, and like, would it tear you away from Persona right now?
No, but nothing would.
Nothing would. Now, I already
You're
told...
You're lucky I'm here.
I told Joey this, of course. She knows. She's been warned. I'm letting you know. You know, I love working. God forbid I get to have any time off.
Yeah.
But once you complete this, you and her get a games cast all to yourself just to talk about Persona.
Just to do Persona?
Yeah, your Persona spoiler cast. People want it so badly.
I would appreciate that, yeah.
Where are you at right now?
I'm about 45 hours in, which I'm told is like maybe barely half, somewhere between like a half and a third of the way through.
Yeah.
It's a really remarkable game. You should be playing it.
I played 25 hours in.
Well, you should play more.
But I'd love to, but who has the time when I have so many Monster Hunters to monster hunt? Woo! Thank you, Kevin.
You gotta make choices.
You do.
You gotta make some difficult choices.
You do.
So Monster Hunter's got its hooks into you?
Oh yeah, big time.
Yeah?
Love it.
I played a little bit of it. I hunted a couple of the newbie monsters.
Didn't click for you?
I just kind of felt I was like flailing around. I think it's something that I would definitely enjoy more in a group.
You should stick around today. Eat some pizza with us. Watch us play.
We don't have enough PS4.
I didn't say play. I said eat some pizza. Watch us play.
No, just watch.
We don't have enough PS4.
First off, Grimecraft's some kind of crazy musician. Think he's going to be on time to this thing?
No way.
Exactly. Number two, IGN's got some For Honor and Splatoon 2 numbers for you. Let's start with For Honor. For Honor has hit another milestone, having amassed a player base of 7.5 million with 1 million unique players every month. In an earnings call this week, the developer publisher called out its medieval melee multiplayer game success. The game has hit its first birthday as of today. Its success is due in part to its regular updates, keeping fans invested. Tomorrow, the game's fifth season of content, Age of Wolves, will go live, and Ubisoft will roll out dedicated servers.
Now, that kind of happened a little bit under the radar for me, because it seems like you look at these numbers, that suggests the game's very, very popular, a big hit. But it's not something I hear about every day. I hear about, you know, PUBG, and I hear about Fortnite, and I hear about Monster Hunter, and there's the games that are kind of just like, feel like they're, you know, at any given time there are games that are kind of like dominating the conversation.
In the zeitgeist, or in the conversation.
Yeah, they're just in the zeitgeist. That's the right word for it. For Honor to me has never really felt like it's been in the zeitgeist, and yet just slowly, quietly kind of chugging along and doing its thing.
For Honor is a lot like Rainbow Six Siege. Had a launch that wasn't stellar.
That's right.
Like, it did fine, but like, there really were problems, this, that, and
really,
the other.
If you just look under the surface, there's a lot of popularity there.
And so I think a lot of people, it was like, you know, everybody rushed in like a wave for a launch, and then the wave receded.
Yeah.
The waters receded.
Yeah.
But the people who stuck around, the developers for Honor, were super like, oh, we're going to fix this. We're going to do that really clear. We're communicating to you. We're giving you updates. And so while I think a lot of people who were maybe just dipping their toe in the water ran away, a lot of people stayed and brought in their friends, and that has been a continual thing.
I was talking to someone about this the other day. We were talking about League of Legends, and that's a game that isn't necessarily like, if you're just like a casual like me, I'm like fairly casual. I like to play, I like all kinds of games. I kind of skim over what's happening every day. I follow enough people in the video game business, I've got a general sense of like what is kind of bubbling.
You got your finger on the pulse.
What's hot, what's not, all of that stuff. League of Legends, you don't hear about it every day, but it's massive.
Yeah.
It's epically massive, but it's not something that's necessary. There are some games I think just enjoy this kind of, they don't have to make a lot of noise, but if you look, the success is there.
I would venture to say even Dota, right? Like Dota 2 is huge, but it's like, if you're not in
way, way smaller than League of Legends, but still huge.
Sure. Is it smaller?
Yeah.
Way, way smaller.
Yeah.
Because they have the
League
Dota International.
League of Legends is way bigger than, again, let's, this is
kindoffunny.com/prime,
you're wrong, but I think I'm right in saying that Dota 2 is massive. League of Legends is super duper massive.
I know League's bigger. I know Riot's, that's all they do. And
but what I'm saying is, and again, please, you're wrong me if I'm wrong, I don't think it's even close.
Okay. But I'm saying, it's another thing where
MOBAs are not really your area of expertise.
And that's where it gets interesting for you and me, I think, too. Maybe if we filed more MOBA players. When like Brian Albert and Mitch Dyer and all of them were obsessed with Dota 2. And I know they're still obsessed, but when they only tweeted about it, I remember seeing more about it.
Yeah, like if you ever talked to like Sean Vanaman, who is like obsessed with Dota. Like that's what, and Brad Shoemaker.
Yeah.
Obsessed with Dota. These are the games that they play. And that's what you hear about from them when you're talking about games. That's their go-to thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's weird. This is a good illustration of how some, you know, like PUBG is something that's just like, that's like, that is absolutely the zeitgeist, right? Everyone's talking about it, and the success matches that. But you can have that level of success without being so noisy about it. Like, you don't have to be in the news cycle every day to be churning away with like, you know, a million unique players every month. That's I'm genuinely surprised, because I honestly thought For Honor kind of came and went.
But oh, no. Yeah, it did really well. For a while, it was the best-selling game of 2017. I want to say that first half of the year, though.
I never played it. Is it good?
I enjoy the 1v1 aspect of it, but not enough to go back to it. We had done a sponsorship thing where we played it on launch or leading up to launch, and I was like, oh, I enjoy 1v1ing. This is cool. In the giant group battle, it wasn't my thing. And in general, it's just not my thing, because that's just not what I'm looking for. That kind of methodical fighter with other people. I understand why you'd like that, but that's
just not personal taste plays a big part in it. What about Splatoon?
Number two. Still at IGN. Splatoon 2 was released for the Nintendo Switch last July, and all of the consoles... And of all the consoles' stellar titles so far, it's the first to sell 2 million copies in Japan. Silicon Air reported the figure, courtesy of Famitsu Sales Tracker, since its release on July 21st, 2017, to February 11th, 2018. The game has sold 2.016 million copies, not including digital sales.
2,016,182.
Yeah. Here's a quick correction for you, motherfucker. No. I said number two was For Honor and Splatoon 2 numbers from IGN. So there was a sub one and two here. Suck it, Kevin. Pwned on Valentine's Day. That's you. That's you. Did you ever play Splatoon 2?
Yeah, my kid is a big fan of it. She loves it.
Okay.
Really, I enjoy it. She really likes it because it's a shooter that kids can play, which is a rare thing.
Yeah.
Part of the genius of Nintendo is, well, like, we want to have a shooter offering.
Yeah.
But with Nintendo, right? We can't really have kids going around like with MP5s or, you know, M1A1 tanks or whatever, killing each other. The PUBG type game is never going to be appropriate for them. So let's do paintball, paint guns, and make it fun and colorful. And it's really, I don't know if you play much of it, but it has a great energy, a great vibe, a great aesthetic. It's really family friendly. It's actually a ton of fun to splatter all the paint around. Kids love it. It's no surprise to me that it's a big hit. And what's interesting here is it says 2 million plus copies sold, not including digital.
Yeah.
That's not, I mean, digital is not nothing. I mean, these days it's significant.
Sure.
I mean, so the way that we did our Switch was we have Zelda and the cartridge is basically just super glued in there.
Yeah.
Like that cartridge is never coming out.
Yeah.
And then I got a really, really big SD card to put in there and we just buy everything digitally.
That's what I do too.
Because I don't trust my kid to not lose those teeny tiny cartridges.
Sure.
And so we just buy everything digitally. But I'd be fascinated to know the numbers on Switch or on any console. I don't know if it's been broken down. Like, what is the difference between, what's the ratio between physical box sales and digital sales?
Sure. Retail dominates, I know, still.
It does? But
digital gains every year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real quick, do you have different Joy-Cons for your kid?
No, just the one set.
Okay.
Why?
I find it interesting, you know, not having thought much about having a child and how that would how it would affect me playing games versus how I'd let the child play games. I think it was, I'm not going to say, I think maybe Eric Pope on Twitter, maybe somebody else was talking about how that he has, maybe it's Nick Chester, whoever, has their own pristine set of Joy-Cons that they keep on a really high shelf.
Okay.
And then the kids just get to deal with whatever. Their Joy-Cons are all sticky and gross, and then they pop them off.
For all of the coolness and the versatility, the Joy-Cons detaching,
yeah.
We hardly ever do that.
Yeah.
Like, we'll take the console off of the dock and play it as a handheld console.
Sure.
But it's very, very rare that we'll take the things out and play with those as motion controllers. Because I think there hasn't been a game yet that's made a brilliant argument for that. Nintendo will say, like, it's the best way to play, like, sure, Mario Odyssey or whatever.
No,
it's actually kind of a hassle. You got to pull the thing off, and then there's the little rail you have to slot onto.
Oh, to get your wrist bracelet on. Yeah.
No, and it's not, I don't know. I mean, again, it's nice. It's not a part of the Switch functionality that we've used a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, again, like, much like with the Wii before, a lot of that motion waggling 1-2 Switch stuff has turned out to be pretty gimmicky.
Sure. Yeah.
So
nobody wants it. Nobody needs it. Some people want it. I don't want it. Number 3.
Labo may well change that.
But. Labo might. Labo. Let's all gabbo. Number 3. Splash Damage might be... Here's the thing. Splash Damage worked on Gears of War 4's multiplayer. Over at Silicon Era today, some guys with the little monocle... Not the monocle. The jeweler's eye were digging through the Splash Damage career page. Found all the stuff for Gears of War franchise positions that have answered. Not shocking... Splash Damage, again, worked on Gears 4 multiplayer, helped out with the Coalition stuff.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is that Recent Era jumps to the idea that it's Gears 5. I'm not prepared to say that. They have a bunch of listings for Gears of War franchise. However, there's stuff like this. Cinematic lead for Gears of War franchise. As a cinematic lead at Splash Damage, you will be responsible for planning, directing, and delivering high-quality in-game cinematics that will tie together gameplay and narrative through realistic acting, compelling action, and expressive dialogues. A storyboard artist for the Gears of War franchise. Splash Damage is looking for a talented artist to create cinematic storyboards and concepts to help us build stunning and inspiring art for an upcoming title. You'll be inspiring the team and helping visualize the narrative while collaborating with the cinematic lead to ensure that the visual style and pacing is maintained. People are thinking they have more of a role maybe in Gears 5 based on this than just multiplayer. Because in multiplayer, would you need the cinematic lead? Sure, there's going to be cinematics in it for transitions, but what exactly is going on? Is Coalition working on it less? Are they working on it more? Are they more collaborative in terms of the single player game? Is this all multiplayer stuff?
Don't usually think of cinematics and multiplayer going together, do you? I mean, usually you're thinking of single player campaign.
Right. And so it's one of those not traditionally, but if it is a multiplayer mode that has story elements, you might need some kind of padding in there, right? To go between things, but it's not what you'd expect. But I'm not the biggest Gears guy. Played Gears of War 4 multiplayer, but I don't know how Splash Damage is shaking stuff up. Maybe if they're working on some kind of remaster. I don't know. I'm just putting it out there for you Gears fans. Keep your ear to the ground. Moving on. Number 4, this is an update. I guess this is finally official. The first female player in the Overwatch League is Go. I got this via Kotaku. Kim Giguri, and this is in quotes, sorry, like her player name, Giguri Seyon, Sorry about all that. Is the first female player signed to a team in Overwatch League. Shanghai Dragons has confirmed that they've signed her along with three other Korean players. Shanghai had an 0-10 record in season one, so the new talent should help. Just a heads up on that, because I know Andrea tossed that out there, that there were rumors about it a couple shows ago. Now it's confirmed via Kotaku. Congratulations, Kim. Are you watching any of this esports stuff?
0-10? I could probably get on that team.
Yes, you could. I mean, they would want...
That sounds a lot like when I did my qualification matches for competitive ranking.
Yeah.
You know when you go from casual to competitive play in Overwatch?
Oh, sure, yeah.
They have you play 10 matches to get a level of your skill.
Yeah.
And then they'll put you, hopefully, in a tier that is right for you. Oh, my God, it was bad. A lot of red X's.
Nah, it's not good. Yeah. That's tough. Yeah. I couldn't even imagine. Yeah. No. Yeah. Do you watch esports? Do you care about esports?
It depends on the game.
Okay.
I have really enjoyed watching Battlegrounds. Battlegrounds is a three.
Because you know Battlegrounds so well.
But I don't think you even have to, like, Overwatch is a game that it's so fast at the top level. It's not fast when I play it. I just turret Bastion and just sit there and shoot people as they run by.
That's what you
it's easy
do.
To watch me. But if you watch like a Hanzo or one of these kind of players that are just like, or a Tracer, just zooming around the screen and spinning around and doing 360s and all this kind of stuff, it's not, unless you are very literate with, I think this is the big challenge that a lot of esports games have. Unless you are very literate with the game and understand what's happening, it's hard to follow a lot of games, especially really fast shooters. Battlegrounds, I think, is easier to follow because you understand the context of it. It's got a real world. Okay, here's a bunch of guys in a house or in a Jeep, trying not to get shot.
Yeah.
And there's a real world kind of one-to-one mapping that's easy for me to understand what it is that I'm watching.
When Rocket
League... It's not a high-speed shooter. It's more methodical. There's a lot of hiding, a lot of waiting, a lot of tension. I think part of the success of Battlegrounds has been that it's thrilling just to watch.
Right.
Even if you don't necessarily play... or know how to play. Something like Overwatch, which I think is much more rarefied, much more class-based. You've got to understand, okay, well, Symmetra can do this, and you know, these characters will have different abilities. I think it can be really overwhelming if you don't have some grounding in what's going on.
This was my argument when Overwatch came later, PUBG came later, I think, too, but when they announced the Rocket League esports, right. I was like, I feel like that's the first one that could really cross over, because that one's simple enough. Of it's cars playing soccer, and like Rocket League's fun to play. It's fun to watch too, because people do crazy, amazing things I could never do in it. It's the same thing for what you're talking about with PUBG.
Yeah.
Where in PUBG, if you get a bunch of amazing players together, yeah, you want to. And not let alone the fact if you have great commentators and they're cutting back and forth, right? These guys are holed up in a house. This one guy's making his move. Oh my God, what's going to happen? How are they going to play this? Oh my God, he got away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot to do with the kind of, again, the one-to-one mapping. It's much easier to explain PUBG to someone that is Overwatch, because again, PUBG just feels more real. Again,
yeah,
like you actually could drop a bunch of people on an island.
I've thought about doing it.
So it's easy to understand what you're watching. You're watching a computer simulation of something that you could imagine happening in real life. Overwatch, again, is much more stylized, much faster. I mean, most of the characters are really, really fast, and again, it's easy to you see it right now with the Olympics. Like, I'm enjoying curling.
Oh,
and I enjoy a lot of the winter sports
I'm
watching.
Curling.
But a lot of the time, I've got no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
I don't know. Was that good, what he just did? I don't know.
I understand.
It's hard sometimes. But what were we talking about?
Esports.
How did we get onto this?
We're talking about esports. Oh, your first female Overwatch League player.
Oh, right. Okay, so the Overwatch League. Well, I mean, hopefully she's able to get a couple of wins for them.
Oh, I'm sure she will.
They're not doing too... Right now, they're kind of the...
Laughingstock.
What would be the real sports analogy for this team?
They are
the Cleveland Browns or something?
Yeah, they're the Cleveland Browns right now, the Overwatch League. Yeah, yeah. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Number five, Steam has bounced a game developer after it manipulates its scores. I'm going to read from IGN's article here. Incel Games has had its games purged from Steam after the developer was discovered manipulating review scores with fake accounts. A Reddit post claiming that the company's CEO was threatening to fire employees if they didn't buy the game and leave positive reviews on Steam caused Valve to investigate. In an update today, Valve said that it had identified unacceptable behavior involving multiple Steam accounts controlled by the publisher of this game. Quote, the publisher appears to have used multiple Steam accounts to post positive reviews for their game. This is a clear violation of our policy and something we take very seriously. For these reasons, we are ending our business relationship with Incel Games Limited and removing their games from our store. The studio's title include Guardians of Ember, World of Fishing, and Trinium Wars. Wild Buster, Heroes of Titan was the studio's most recent title and the one that apparently prompted the email from the CEO, requesting that staff buy the game and write reviews. Quote, of course, I cannot force you to write a review, let alone tell you what to write, but I should not have to, read the email. Neglecting the importance of reviews will ultimately cost jobs. If Wild Buster fails, Incel fails, and then we will all have no job next year. Steam users who have Incel games in their library will still be able to access them, but the titles are no longer available to purchase on the platform. What do you think, Gary? What he deserves?
First of all, the lead here is a bit misleading in saying the CEO is threatening to fire employees who didn't buy the game. That's not what he said. He said that if this game's not successful, then we might all be out of a job. So do everything you can to make the game successful. That's more of a problem with the way the lead here was
also
composed.
Keep in mind, IGN's paraphrasing the whole email. Maybe there was something else in there they didn't put in, maybe not.
That aside,
yeah.
Obviously this is absolutely disgraceful.
Sure.
And I think that Valve acted appropriately, and they deserve everything that they get.
It's
you cannot be manipulating or cheating or trying to game the system. This is a really, like, I wonder if it is a terrible thing. But you have to remember, like, this taking a Steam is now so dominant that but banning a game or a company from that platform is essentially a death sentence.
100%. Right? Which is why...
Where else are you going to go sell your game?
Here's my thing with this thing right here, and this email and all this jazz. If I'm the CEO of Incel Games, I am on the phone right now to whoever, high as I can get at Valve, being like, listen, I fucked up. I tried to have his game in the system. That was wrong. I'm going to step down. Please let the games back on the platform.
Right.
Please, you're going to put... I don't even care if it's two employees. You're going to put people out of work.
Because this is the actions of one person.
And it'd be like me forcing, you know, not forcing, but me saying like, hey, everybody, go fucking review this thing or do this on Reddit or upvote this post. And then kind of funny in general being banned from YouTube, whatever.
I doubt it'll happen. But if the CEO here is genuine in saying, hey, it's important to me that we all have jobs next year, so go do this. And in fact, he is now, ironically...
The reason none of them will have jobs next year.
The nightmare scenario that he was trying to prevent. I think the only honorable thing you could do, and I doubt he would do it, is fall on the sword. Like you said, make the call. Say, look, I'm going to resign. This would never happen again. But like, don't
please
punish
put them back. Yeah,
innocent game developers. Maybe like a suspension or something is more appropriate than like a permanent. Because again, Steam is in a position of such dominance.
Yeah, and I don't know. I've never heard of any of these games coming to console, but I don't, you know, I mean, I would imagine Steam is the main revenue driver for them.
But you know, ultimately, even though it may be somewhat overkill, I do think that, you know, sometimes you've got to make examples of companies and say, don't look, this will now send a message. Do not do this.
Yeah. I don't know if Wild Buster Heroes of Titan was really going to save the studio to begin with, but yeah.
But the thing is, how many employees does this company have? Even if they all went on there under fake names and left 5-star reviews.
Sure.
Is that really going to even move the needle? Like, was this even
You'd
worth
think
it?
Not, but who knows? But Arvel writes in about this very topic. He wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can, and says, he's responding to this story. This is another example of a company showing immoral behavior of the management towards their employees, but it made me think about the digital market space in general. PlayStation and Nintendo don't have a dedicated user review system as comparable to Amazon or Netflix, but Steam or any smartphone app store has such a review system. For me, as a customer, I am basing my buying decision mostly on some of the written reviews on Amazon, but I wouldn't dare to look at a review on Steam or iTunes because most comments are short sentences like this game, 5 stars, and are mostly faked. Do you think reviewing systems within digital stores are necessary at all, or should there be other methods to make a game more important for the customers? For example, by having curated lists or other things. You're on the App Store. You're on Amazon. Mm-hmm. You're on PlayStation. Do you look at how many stars it has on Amazon? Do you read the reviews from people?
Sometimes I look at, you know, it might not be a game, it could be anything. It could be, you know, a mattress or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at see the thing has like 10,000 reviews.
Yeah.
At that point, I feel like that's enough of a sample for the average, the aggregate, to mean something. So if you see like mostly 4.5 or something, that's probably pretty good.
Sure.
At the same time, though, I'm very aware of as much, again, the democratization of the internet has been both a blessing and a curse. And yeah. you see it in the abuse of like Rotten Tomato user reviews, App Store reviews, Steam reviews. There are so many different ways to game the system. I saw a picture not too long ago of like a setup in some Chinese company where they had literally like a whole arrays of iPhones all set up for people to just do 5-star reviews on games and fake, again, game the system and push their
sure.
their review score up and get, you know, trying to find ways to kind of artificially inflate the popularity or the appeal of the game. And it's a shame. This is why we can't have nice things, Greg. All of these systems are open to abuse. You see these like militant movie fans that go on and try to rate movies down because sure. like for them it's like this big tribal thing where, well, this, you know, DC must be destroyed, or, you know, whatever it might be, you know, the people kind of going after
there's
each other.
There's camps they're going to go after and try to sink,
you know,
somebody's
it's reviews. It's the same fake news problem that we're seeing in the wider world right now. At the end of the day, always rely on trusted outlets.
That's
always look
thing,
at
right?
like the real the media reviews that find the reviewers, the sites, the legitimate,
the friends, the personalities
that you like and trust them, and by all means look at the user score as well. But again, you know, caveat emptor all day long on that stuff. Like you've got to figure out once you get into that world, it becomes a big mess.
It's for me the same reason I stopped reviewing or starring or anything on Yelp. Because I noticed I was only using Yelp for reviews to write my own reviews when I was angry. When I had a great meal, I never went back to review that's fine. But when I had a shitty time, I was like, this sucks.
That is something that I believe there is actually a real scientific basis for that. The idea that you are way more likely to go online and rate something or write a review or make any kind of
comment
if you're dissatisfied.
Yeah, this is what I always talk about.
Then you're satisfied.
Someone who reads something and has a metered reaction, enjoys something, right, isn't offended, reads an article on IGN, is like, all right, cool, on with my day, back to email, what's happening on Twitter. Somebody who reads something on IGN and is angered by the point, the review score, the, you know, person's POV, that's the one that pops into the comments. It's like, you're a fucking idiot because of X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, and there's no nuance as well. It's very polarizing. Like, I do think it's true that the majority of people are more likely to express themselves if they're dissatisfied. I get that. People have no trouble complaining, but they're less likely. You see this just on the internet again, just in general. So I wish people would say, like, if you're going to spend time complaining about the things that you don't like, also take the time to celebrate the things that you do like. Like, there needs to be a balance. And even in a case where that is true, the problem that I have is there's no middle ground. I bet you that if you did like some kind of scientific study of like rankings out of 10, when anyone's invited to rank something out of 10, you will see that the most common rankings are either like a 0 or a 1-star or a 10 or a 5-star. Yeah. Everything's either brilliant or complete crap. There's no nuance. There's nothing in the middle.
That's why like thumbs up and thumbs down for user review or whatever, right?
That can be fine.
And I wish apps were that easy, because I use the Reddit app and I love the Reddit app. But when the Reddit app pops up, I'm like, are you enjoying your experience? I'm like, not now. I'm busy, because I know it's going to take me out of the app over to here. I don't know if you have to. We used to have to write a review and do. It's like, if I could just say, yes, here's the thumbs up, and that went to them, great. I would rather that. I digress.
So at the end of the day, you know...
Do you think reviewing systems on digital stores matter or necessary? Yeah, I mean, I look at them and use them, but it's rare. I mean, like, it's more that, like, when I'm on Amazon and I want an iPhone cable, and I see all the iPhone cables there, I'm like, what does Amazon recommend? All right, that thing's got a 4.5 out of 5 stars, great. And then you see, like, the super cheapo one that has 2 stars off of, like, 3 reviews. I'm like, well, I'm not going to bother with that.
Yeah.
But then, of course, I never sit there and star anything or leave a review, so I'm part of the problem. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's no answers.
It would be an amazingly powerful tool if user reviews felt more, if you had more of a reason to believe that they were legitimate, as opposed to people with axes to grind, or people in this case trying to game the system.
Yeah.
It makes it very, very difficult to ascribe much worth or value or credibility to that.
All this said, please rate this podcast on iTunes, because it does help us get it in front of more people. So that's the real thing you have to do. Please rate it good. If you're not going to rate it good, why did you listen to 38 minutes of this show? Go away. Gary,
what's next?
I'm super excited for all the reviews we're going to get on iTunes, but those haven't happened yet. If I wanted to know what games were happening today in the digital mom and grop shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Kevin, you're shaking your head at that. You didn't like Gary's enthusiasm?
Yeah, I felt like
there wasn't any there.
I felt like that was kind of flat, wasn't it? There was nothing there. I can't do the. I can't be up.
Well, you play off me so well. It's fine. I'm up. Yeah, you also heads up. Look at this loose hair I have here, right here, right? I look a lot like Henry Cavill in that Superman image, right? Where he's a little bit wet in the hair. And he's like, you know what I mean? Oh, the beard too, yeah.
Props to the beard.
Props to the beard, everybody. Thank you, Kevin.
So you're definitely sticking with it.
Here's what I discovered yesterday, is that I'm going to eventually lose it because I hate haircuts. I feel like they are a waste of time. They require too much planning. I got to do this. I've been talking to Nick. Nick's like, I got to make a different appointment for the beard or go to the same guy. Unless I saw this.
Well,
is
let
too
me
much
tell
work.
You something that's actually quite nice.
Lay it on me.
When I experimented with a beard for a while and it wasn't as good as yours. It never came in. Mine comes in patchy. Well, I never. But for a while I had one, and my wife as a nice gift got me a gift certificate for like the Art of Shaving.
Sure.
One of
yeah,
those
the
kind
mall.
Of places.
Yeah, yeah.
And to go to that store and they put you to like, the old fashioned. Barbershop, they put you in the thing and the hot towels on the face and the whole thing. It's actually a very nice experience. I would recommend you give that
a try.
It's
just that I'm so...
Just to get it trimmed.
I'm so lazy. And I just, like, when I...
Andy
did this, and now he's not even here, and Dice Awards are coming up, and Jessica Chobot's going to look great, and I'm going to look weird. I got to get it fixed. I need a haircut, but I can't find the time to get the haircut.
Just make an appointment.
I hate getting my haircut.
Nobody can.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to just have a guy come here and cut my hair. Nick's not. I don't trust Nick's guy. Out today, The Legend of Heroes Trials of Cold Steel 2 is on PC. Guilt Battle Arena is on PS4. Slice, Dice, and Rice is on PlayStation 4. I have no idea what that is, but I like the title. Super. Oh, that goes on there. Hold on. I screwed up a new date. Sorry. I'm rusty. Evil Within 2 gets a first-person mode as DLC today. And then Florence is the rare iPhone App Store game we're going to talk about. Florence, an emotive and unique interactive storybook created by Mountains and published by Annapurna, I can never say that, Interactive, is now available on the App Store for $2.99. Right in time for Valentine's Day, Florence is the story of the heart racing highs and heartbreaking lows of a young woman's very first love. Players can experience every beat of Florence and Krish's relationship through a series of bespoke gameplay vignettes, from flirting to fighting, from helping each other grow to growing apart. I downloaded this last night because
sounds
guess,
good.
I think Jen's not listening, but she's in the other room. She showed it to me. I think it's somebody from the team on Monument Valley did it.
Okay,
maybe
what kind
I don't
of
know
game
if
is it?
I think it's like a visual novel kind of thing of like it's an interactive storybook.
Right.
So there's a bunch of different things. They showed it like that. At one point, they were like in the trailer I watched last night. Like there were pieces of like puzzle pieces on the ground. You assemble them, and then they started talking about. I think it was art or something on the wall.
Yeah,
and then like you brush something off, and you shaved them or gave them a beard or something like that. It looks like a.
I'm gonna look at it. Annapurna has a good reputation both in film and now in games for doing like fairly like you know good high end stuff.
Hell yeah. They did
Goragoa,
yeah,
which was very
Edith
good.
Finch, yeah, too. They took a whole bunch of people when Sony Santa Monica let go of people, and I think some people just left. That's who made their games team. Shout out to Deb Mars and stuff.
I'm going
to
check it out. I
Do
like
it.
This sort of thing.
New dates for you. Super Seducer launches March 6th on 2018 on PC, Mac, and PlayStation 4. I expect a Let's Play on PS4. This is very much how to... It's like... They're trying to market it as like, hey... Here's a thing to teach you how to talk to women.
Wait, what?
Here's like a FMV game where it's like choose multiple choice questions to see how you should respectfully talk to the other sex. And
okay.
then but like the trailer I watched didn't
What
it,
game? What game is this?
Super Seducer.
Oh, you've gone back up here. Okay.
Yeah, I had it in the wrong spot. My apologies.
I would say that Super Seducer doesn't to me sound like the title of something that is going to teach you how to respectfully
and that's
interact
my problem.
With a member
in
of the opposite
video,
sex.
In the video and the way they had it, it's very graphic, some of the things you can say. So I'm interested to see, it seems and it, like the guy wrote like one of those pickup artist books or something.
Oh yeah, it's like, is it one of those bullshit things, like the game or something? Yeah. Fuck that shit. Yeah. I don't like that stuff.
Well, I mean, now I think it might have a platinum though. Just a heads
up. Oh, you really have no shame.
I mean, like, it'll be a funny platinum to get if the game's totally gross, right? I'm doing, like, the right thing. I feel like I'm throwing it. Let's get Super Seducer.
Windows, PC, Mac, and PlayStation 4. Super Seducer. Mm-hmm. So is it meant to be a game, or is it meant to be actually some kind of, like, instructional...
Here we go.
...tool for, like, nerds to learn how to...
Now, here's the thing, is Andrea and I were talking about this, and I don't want to pull her into it. I was going to talk about it. They tried to pitch it as... Hey, here's how to talk to women, right? In their email to us. Here's I'll read just the opening paragraph of this press release. Join world-renowned dating coach Richard LaRuna, best-selling author of The Natural, How to Effortlessly Attract the Women You Want, as he teaches the art of seduction in an adult-focused, choose-your-own-adventure-style game that's equal parts funny and educational. It strikes me from what I've seen... in the graphic nature of what you can say, that it's not really that educational. But we'll see.
I would have to see it, but it sounds a bit skeezy to me. I don't want to prejudge.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, March. I mean, I did. I said I didn't want to, but I literally just did.
More. Yeah, I mean, you're on the spot. You know, you got to come out here. You got to have your things ready to go. Let me see. I'm clicking over to.
No, I suspect a lot of think pieces and hot takes.
Oh yeah,
are coming our way in March.
If you want,
this game is released.
1,000%. If you want to see what's going to happen with people, I'm going to play the trailer. We'll listen to the trailer together. Maybe.
Are you going to just play it on your phone?
Yeah, well, imagine a guy talking to women, and then just hear the conversations. Right?
I'm Richard LaRuna, the world's most successful pickup artist. Maybe you've seen me on the BBC, FHM, Men's Health, The Guardian, or even Piers Morgan.
You're a dick, aren't you?
We made Super Seducer to condense 25 years worth of proven psychological seduction tricks and teach them in a manner that gives players complete freedom to fail and screw up.
Why don't I give you my number, and then you can call me sometime and message me whatever, and we meet.
Yeah, sure.
Giving a girl your number and not taking hers is very pointless.
Tired.
Oh, I'm sorry. What's that?
This old school move is actually not that bad if you do it a little bit tongue-in-cheek. If you're not good at cooking, you better be real good at sucking.
What?
You're truly a disgusting human being.
You know, small boobs are okay, but I kind of like...
Small boobs are okay.
I can't even tell if this is meant to be real or a parody.
I think it's meant to be, let's make some money. I don't know.
Well,
I digress.
I'm not digging it.
Well, again, March 6th, maybe March 7th. Be ready for a lot of articles. A lot of think pieces on that one. Me to have the platinum. New dates, though. Slay Away Camp is coming to Switch in March. For now, ladies and gentlemen, let's jump to reader mail. But first, tell you, it's brought to you by Bombfell. You might have the whole thing's weird, right? Just the Super Seducer thing, it's really weird. It's an icky. It seems like an icky game, but I don't know if it is yet. But it seems like it's very icky.
Do you think? I mean, it's easy for us to be on our high horse about it because we're already happily married. Like we're out of the game.
Yeah,
the game is a distant memory for us.
I don't even remember
what
it was
like. Frankly,
I can't even
pick
up the ball.
How you feel
anymore
about this, Greg? Maybe you have a greater facility with the opposite sex, more confidence. I don't know, more charm. You know, whatever it might be. Maybe you enjoyed that part of your life.
Oh, sure. You don't miss it.
I found it to be just endless misery.
Sure.
And the idea of like going back to like the single life and going on dates and trying to impress a woman or whatever just sounds like agony to
the
me.
The thing with
I'm so glad that
even
part of my
the little
life is
bit
over.
You just listened to from the trailer,
made my skin crawl.
The choices that are up there are so graphic that you would never ever say to another human being out of the blue.
I didn't see the choices on the
you
screen.
You heard some of them,
like,
though, right? At any point, would you say, hey, man, if you're not good at cooking, you better be good at sucking
like
my beef?
Anytime you're
no.
talking about, like, here's an effective way to kind of, like, surreptitiously put your hands on a woman, fuck this guy.
Yeah, No. Reader Mail's brought to you by Bombfell. You might have noticed that I've been looking better on this show because I'm dressing nicer. I get it all from Bombfell. They send you this whole thing. You get a one-on-one personal stylist. You tell them what you want. They go through stuff. They send you stuff. You try it on. If it fits and you like it, you keep it. If it doesn't, you toss it back in this bag they send you. You ship it back. No harm, no foul. Bombfell is an online personal styling service for men that helps find the right clothes for you. Once You sign up online and complete a simple questionnaire. You are matched one-on-one with a dedicated personal stylist who handpicks every piece. Your stylist will email you a preview of their selections, after which you'll have 48 hours to make any changes or even cancel altogether. You're in total control. Afterwards, Bombfell will ship you the selected clothes, and you'll have 7 days to decide and only pay for what you want to keep. Send back the rest with the free shipping both ways. You can receive clothes every 1, 2, or 3 months, and you can pause or cancel at any time. Clothing is shipped straight to your door. No need to spend hours shopping at the store, which is what I hate, Gary. It's why I do these box services, because I hate going to the store, as I can't even get a haircut. Somebody needs to come up with a haircut in a box that just comes out and give me a Flowbee.
There's got to be an app.
I can
like barber, but without the E, that you can just like have someone come like Uber for haircuts.
There is apparently.
There's got to be something like that.
And now with every shipment, the more you keep, the more you save at Bombfell. Keep 2 items, get 10% off. Keep 3 items, get 15% off. Keep 4 items, get 20% off. We have a special offer just for listeners of the show. For $25 off your first purchase, go to bombfell.com/kindoffunny. That's Bombfell, BOMBFELL.com/kindoffunny. Once again, bombfell.com/kindoffunny for $25 off your first purchase. Thank you, Bombfell.
I would be interested to know if a company like this could do anything for me, because I feel like...
Oh, they can.
These you look good right now.
Yeah.
But I feel like your default, like you're photogenic. You know, you got a good look.
You're stretching it.
You can wear clothes and look good.
Yeah.
I long ago, this is why I come to your office wearing sweatpants, because I gave up a long fucking time ago, dude. We have a saying in England, you can't polish a turd.
Sure.
And do they have that here as well?
We say it. It doesn't get said as much, but yes, it's a saying here.
So I kind of feel like you could bring in like the best fashion people. Like Queer Eye is back on Netflix.
Sure.
So you could put me like on Queer Eye.
Yeah.
And I think by the end they would just be, no, like we
I say you
up.
Take a shot with this Bombfell.
You want me
thing,
to give
then?
It a try?
Bombfell.com/kindoffunny.
You think?
Yeah. Why not?
I mean, why not? Why not indeed?
Yeah.
All right. I'll give it a try.
Okay. Do it.
Maybe I shouldn't give up.
Don't give up. Because I was with like you for a long time, and then I just turned over control of dressing me to someone else, and that's what fixed it.
So what do they do? Like, do you give them your measurements and
yeah,
and whatnot?
Yeah. You do all that stuff, yeah, and then they find stuff they think would look good. And like you go through the app. It's like a questionnaire.
Okay.
Of like, what do you like this? Do you not like this?
Do you have
this?
To send them like a picture of yourself or something? Do they actually see you?
Yeah, I think if memory serves, when I did it a while ago, I think I did. And they see stuff and like you link your online profiles and stuff, so they see you there.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Let's start with Beta House, who wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Dear esteemed Kind of Funny Games Daily hosts, to celebrate this Valentine's Day, I'd like to know what is your favorite relationship, romantic or otherwise, in gaming today? Wishing a happy Valentine's Day to the entire Kind of Funny crew and the community. Have a great day, everyone. Bart, a.k.a. Beta House." When you think of great relationships in video games, who do you think of?
Well, it's a good time to ask me that question, because I'm right in the middle of Persona right now, which is very relationship.
Who's best girl, yeah.
Very relationship centric. Having said that, I'm only just now at the part of the game where the possibility of relationships begins to open up. Like the game is designed, you can't just jump into a relationship right away. There's like 40 hours in, you know certain characters well enough that you can start to possibly explore relationship aspects. In terms of like the best, again, you put me on the spot.
You go first.
I want to hear what you have to
I'm
say.
I'm spoiling Gone Home because I've talked about it for years, and you should have done it. Sam and Lonnie, their relationship was so real, and it just plays out through Sam's notes or whatever. But I love that relationship, and like I always said, you know, when I finished it, I went and hugged my ex-girlfriend right afterwards. She was still my girlfriend at the time. Hugged my ex-girlfriend right afterwards because it was so poignant, and I felt like I really went on this journey with Sam through these audio
Sorry,
diaries.
Which game are we talking
Gone
about?
Home.
Oh, of course.
Gone Home.
That's a great answer.
Yeah.
I felt that game, it was genius on a number of levels. Both, I love the way that it kind of exploited the expectations of horror tropes to kind of draw you into thinking that this was a horror game.
Yeah.
And there were certainly times when I didn't want to go down into the cellar or whatever because it felt legitimately scary. And there were all, and that final thing where you go up into the attic, like I really didn't want to see what was up there.
I was afraid it was going to be up there.
But then the way that it sticks the landing, like it really is emotionally just tremendous. Really, really good game.
Amazing one.
And that's a good answer as well because it's not like a typical... Easy to say, like Mass Effect or something. You know, a lot of people. Would
I mean,
say
shout
that.
Out to Nathan Drake and Elena, of course.
Yeah,
I have a soft spot for both them. I really appreciated that Uncharted 4 gave us a glimpse at what their life was and would be. If you know what I mean, like we saw them on the adventures all the time
right.
in the high action moments. What happens when they do go home?
Right.
Yeah.
And it's. I mean, there's a lot. I really like the relationship in Brothers Two Sons. It was really well done.
Looking forward to, what is it? No Way Out? That's not right.
A Way Out.
A Way Out. Yeah. No Way Out. Great WWE pay-per-view series.
Yeah. When you think about great relationships and it's Valentine's Day, so I guess you should be thinking about kind of the romantic ones, but
it doesn't have to be. Love is love, man. I love Kevin. He's a great relationship.
Yeah. Look at Lee and Clementine. That's a love story.
There you go. That's a great one. That's a really good one.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You're working on the final season, aren't you, right now? Story consultant.
Tell me
all about it. How's it done?
It's...
You bringing back Krista? I always want to know what happened to Krista. Are we going to find out what happened to Krista's baby? That's the other thing.
I mean, the nature of the beast is that a lot of this stuff will ultimately be decided by you, the player.
If you ever want me to help, you just let me know. I know what it's like to get some writer's block in there. You need me to come in there, pitch some things around about what I think should be happening. Maybe Lee never died. Maybe this was all a dream.
Oh, like Bobby Ewing?
Yeah.
Remember that? Are you old enough to remember that?
Yeah. Well, really? I mean, like, I love the whatever, 70s, 80s. They always recap it.
But you weren't, 80s,
right?
But you weren't there, like, at the time that happened.
Watching Dynasty, right, when it was happening?
I used to watch, in England, you call it Dynasty. Pronounce it differently. But I used to watch that, and I used to watch that more than, I was like the Colbys and the Carringtons more than I liked the Ewings of Dallas.
Yeah.
But I do remember Who Shot JR was huge deal.
Couldn't get away from it, yeah.
And the whole business with Bobby in the shower and, oh, I'm not dead after all, because we realized that we shouldn't have killed this character. So we're just going to pretend the whole
season
thing,
of a dream.
The whole last season was a dream.
Yeah.
Was brilliant. Certainly one of the most audacious things in television history.
Gary, I have three questions lined up that I want your opinion on. You ready?
Sure.
Number one comes from Brosef, who wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Dear Greg and Gary, as a former PC gamer all throughout college turned recent console player, I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on the PC versus console debate. Seeing as Gary used to be the HBIC, head bitch in charge, at PC Gamer Magazine, I'm curious for his take on the hot topic of discussion. I don't know about you guys, but I'm tired of these goddamn PC master race fucks, no offense PC players, always harking on about how true the way to play a game is at 50 FPS on it, and he goes on like this and he's yelling about PC gaming, right? Long story short, my question simply is this. With the rise of PlayStation 4 Pro and Xbox One X, could we be edging just a tad closer to a day where consoles might be on par with their PC counterparts? Obviously, the two platforms will never be the same power-wise, but could the discrepancy between them someday become infinitesimal? Love the show. Keep up the great work, Brosif. Shut up, Kevin. Gary, you know more about PC than I do.
She's not saying much.
What? You wrote about the PCs forever.
No, I did. I'm just saying that everything I've been told, your own
level of knowledge
or interest in PC gaming
Kevin
is
and I can't even make the PC go widescreen on my second monitor.
Why
right
don't
now?
You want to play PC? There's a whole world out there that you love. Someone
I don't
loves
be
game.
Like this hunched over if my desk, doing my Excel
See, right there, you are falling into prejudice tropes.
Everyone knows I'm joking.
I would say that if you love games as much as you profess to, and I know you genuinely do, why close off this whole world of games to yourself?
I have been burned pretty much every time I try to play a PC game.
Something
is wrong.
Oh, like technical problems?
It just doesn't work. I need to download this. This goes into that. Blah, 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 blah. And it just isn't the controller doesn't work even though it should. I got to find a driver. And I realize every time I harp on these in the Greg Miller character a bit more than, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm literally talking about from before any of this happened, when my parents had our first computer and I just wanted to play Carmen Sandiego.
Yeah.
And like my mom had to order it. And 2 weeks later, we went back to the PC game shop and they had it. We brought it home and put it in. Didn't work. And like, it's just, for me, when I think of PC gaming, I think of all the times I've had to troubleshoot my PC to do what I feel to be the simplest things.
Right.
Consoles are, you come home, hopefully, and don't get me wrong, this is not me saying consoles are perfect. Because again, I'm dropping the character here. Don't get me wrong. PC gaming is amazing. I understand it's the best way to play. Everything looks great. I get all that. Consoles, for the most part, are I put in the disc and it works. Great. Tons of times, do you have the right firmware? There's a day one patch. I'm not saying that shit doesn't exist.
Yeah,
I'm
just saying that console gaming has actually started to pick up some of the annoying habits of PC gaming.
Right.
Patches.
Well, you're not online. You can't play this. Like, all right, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
I understand all that. But for the most part, it's just been easy and a controller is natural to me and I want to send the TV. And I know that there's Steam Link and I could get a machine and plug it into my PC and do all this different stuff.
That's a hassle as well, though.
Yeah, no. And that's the thing is I've been in houses where somebody got Steam Link and we hooked it up out there and then you start and it's like, oh, it's a little bit laggy. This isn't exactly what I want.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, I think of PC gaming as a hassle. I think of PC gaming as being really expensive.
I used to buy into this kind of tribalism back in the day when I was in the 90s, when I was the editor-in-chief of PC Gamer, and our office was right next door to Next Generation magazine, which was more focused on consoles. So there was a lot of kind of friendly banter back and forth about, you know, console people versus, you know, PC games versus console games. And they are obviously very different. At the end of the day, I mean, I'm much more agnostic about it now. I have a PC that I like playing PC games. I enjoy my console games.
Yeah.
I understand the pros and cons of each. I think that, yes, inarguably, if you want just to, if you want to just play the technically superior version of the game, it's always going to be PC every time. Even the expert, if you go to like Digital Foundry or places like that where they do like the technical comparisons of the games, they will mostly tell you that even like on a 1X, like highly optimized game, the high-end PC version of it is still going to crush it. So if that's what you care about, if you care about the highest fidelity, highest resolution, highest frame rate, all the bells and whistles, the PC is the way to go. At the same time, you are also going to have to pay a premium in terms of aggravation to get there. The games aren't always going to work. Maybe the drivers don't work because, you know, the PC is such a Wild West ecosystem. Sometimes, you know, it's not the control method that you want it to be.
What is going on with graphics cards right now and bitcoins?
Well, so I guess what's happening is that people are mining cryptocurrency using high-end GPUs.
Okay.
And so they're buying up all the GPUs to go mine cryptocurrency. As a consequence of that, it's turned into a seller's market for GPUs. And if you're currently looking to build a PC from scratch, you're going to have a hard time finding like a 1080 or a high-end Radeon card.
Gotcha.
Because the cryptocurrency miners are gobbling them all up. Because apparently this is the new economic revolution. Just keep putting graphic cards into your PC until it starts to shit money.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I can get behind that. You know what I mean?
Maybe. I mean, that's the new economic frontier that we're all, and, you know, and in the meantime, burning up more electricity than all of Finland or something. Yeah, I can't remember. It was pretty scary.
Yeah.
But you know, here's the way that I look at it. I always feel like the hardcore PC gamers and the people that don't mind doing all the under the hood tweaking and stuff to get the game running, or, you know, they get into the INI files and they'll do all kinds of modding and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Those people to me kind of feel like high-end, like muscle car or sports car enthusiasts, the people that want a certain kind of premium experience and don't just mind. It's not that they just don't mind the under the hood stuff. That's
they
part
like
of the
it.
Appeal.
100%.
They like getting under the hood. They like tweaking everything that they can.
I had a conversation recently with somebody who was doing the exact same thing of comparing it to being a car guy.
Yeah.
Of the cooling system you've put in your rig,
right,
what the shell looks like, all that stuff.
Yeah, all the aftermarket modifications.
And I get that. As somebody, you know, I bike to work, and when Jen got her bike, she took it in the shop to get it assembled because she bought it in pieces or whatever. And then they're like, oh, well, they had new pedals for it. And I was like, oh, man, I never thought about customizing my bike. That's really awesome. I'd love to do that. But when it comes to gaming, for me with gaming, it's my relaxation time. It's what I do for entertainment.
Right.
And that's come at the sacrifice of I don't watch TV really anymore. It's rare that I go to the movies outside of Marvel or, you know, superhero stuff. I want to come home and get to the game as fast as possible.
Yeah.
So the what is part of the fun for PC people of like a new graphics card, this thing, troubleshooting that, that's just not what I want to do. I just want to get in and have the fucking thing work and be able to play.
Yeah.
And so it's all personal preference. And so again, with the character down, it is very much, I totally get the PC gaming is amazing and that's the superior way to play. If you want to do that, I totally want everybody to play games and be happy. I know that I'm the PlayStation guy, but I'd like to think I'm the PlayStation guy mainly because I covered PlayStation for so long, not because I look at my Xbox and scoff at it and I play PUBG on it. I downloaded Cuphead and never played it. When there's a great PC game, I'll go through the hoops to do it. When SimCity came out, I bought a fucking PC. I bought Nick Colin's old one, right? And like, just to make sure I had the ability to play SimCity. Like, it's there for me. But right now, with the limited amount of time any of us have to play games, the giant sea of great video games out there to play, like even I'm, you know what, 35 hours into Monster Hunter, which means I'm ignoring so many other great things. Still haven't touched Shadow of the Colossus. I just,
oh, that reminds me, I gotta get
when that. People hit me up and they're like, hey, this game's coming into Steam, do you want to code them? I've now just gotten to the point I'm like, no. I used to just take them and then put them on a list or redeem them, and maybe, you know, I'm just like, no. Unless I'll hit up multiplayer ones for Andy and be like, do you want to party mode this? But outside of that, it has to be a very, very special game like Gone Home, like SimCity. I know SimCity didn't pan out the right way, but SimCity, where I'm going to go through the hoops.
Yeah, so like what happened, for example, when like PUBG came along, and I mean, it's on Xbox now, but that's considered like a side thing. when PUBG was out there dominating the conversation, like I said, that was the zeitgeist game of 2017 and still is now. Surely for something like that, you've got to make the accommodation to go and like try it on PC, because otherwise you're missing out on something that's like a massive thing that's happening in games right
now. Well, I mainly tackled it on making a lot of jokes about the PC players being beta testers, and when it came to Xbox, I play.
Right.
And I have. But it was also the fact that, I think we did a party mode, or it might have just been a Kind of Funny Plays back in the day for it, where we put it on all the office machines and played it there for a few rounds. I was like, I love this. I get this. I'll play it when it comes to console.
The one thing that I will say, though, again, is that the gap is closing. Back in the 90s, again, back in the PC gaming Next Generation days when I worked in magazines, you know, the guys across, I would be envious of the guys across the little barrier there who would just slap in a cartridge and boom, they're playing in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm like fucking around with like my
multiple DOS install discs,
trying to figure out like how to get enough RAM free to play the game. And please insert disc 15 and all this bullshit that we used to do. Now, though, it's still more of a hassle on PC, but like, don't tell me that you haven't sometime in the last 6 months or a year sat down and go, oh, okay, game executive time, 100% gaming time. Executive time. But that ends up being the first half an hour downloading all the fucking patches and updates and shit that
you come home
do.
And I'm like, oh, well, I forgot that I switched my primary PlayStation 4 to that PlayStation 4, so this PlayStation 4 didn't download it.
So 100%. Consoles have picked up a lot of PC gaming's bad habits.
And I'm not trying to make it out that my grass is so green. I totally understand.
The biggest waste of time for me, if we're talking about, again, you've got a limited time. I've only got a few hours to, but by the time, between the time that my kid goes to bed and by the time I'm too tired to stay up any longer, I've got maybe a couple of hours of like what I would consider quality executive gaming time. And so many times that has all been eaten up, not just by updates, but like, you know what the biggest fucking waste of time is? Like just matchmaking and trying to get like an online group together.
Sure.
Like every online game session is like a bad conference call.
Yeah.
You know, we're like, can you hear me now? Are you there?
Kevin and I did that for 30 minutes, I think, on Saturday with Monster Hunter. Where for some reason the place, again, like, and I'm not making it out that everything's perfect on my side of the fence. The PlayStation, I wasn't picking up the mic the way I wanted it to. So I was running, because me and Jen are in the same room trying to play with him. So then I was jumping around. Then by the time we got there, Kevin had, he's like, wait a second, this isn't working for me. And then he did that. And then finally Kevin's like, I got to run to the office to help Paul. I was like, all right. We never even played.
It just kills me because online gaming with other friends, when I've got the headset on and like all my buddies are in my ear and we're like teaming up to play whatever it might be, Gears, Destiny, Monster Hunter, you name it. That to me is the most fun in games, when it's a bunch of people online together having a great time. But to get even just getting everyone together at a certain time is enough of a hassle.
Yeah.
And then getting everyone connected and in the lobby and ready to go and actually spawned into a game working the way I can count on the fingers of one hand the number of times in my life that has been like a quick and seamless process.
Pain
even after
butt.
All these years, matchmaking and lobbies and stuff, it's still a load of shite.
So Brosef, no, there will always be a gap, I feel, between PC and console, right?
But it has narrowed.
It has narrowed, but I think.
It used to be in the 90s when PC gaming was hellish.
Yeah.
And consoles would slap in and away you go. Maybe you got a blow on it, but that's about as far as your tech support goes on getting a console game working.
Sure.
It was vastly different. Now I do think that the gap is continuing to narrow.
I think, PC will always run a little bit better and have different stuff and all this stuff. But I think, your PlayStation 4 and Pro, it's whatever. Personal preference, you'll be fine. Final question comes from Eddie, who writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, why will you not talk about Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2? Is it because your voice and all the voices of the Kind of Funny guys are in it, and you're legally not allowed to shit on it? I doubt this is the case, because I love it. I bought this fine game for my Switch, and after hearing your guys' voices, it'll be the game that I have to say is my favorite Switch game yet.
We've talked about it a bunch.
We talk about it in passing that we're in it and it's out or whatever, but not about like, hey, I've played it and I really enjoyed
it. Well, I have talked about it because I love those Lego games.
Well, I love Lego games, as well. The reason being is I just didn't play Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2.
I played Lego Marvel Super Heroes all the way to the end, finished it, and then Lego City Undercover all the way through the end. That's actually my favorite Lego game. It's brilliant. I hope they make a sequel. And then we've been trying to play Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2, but my kid keeps going back to wanting to just continue to explore Lego City Undercover.
Understandable.
So it's been hard to... Right now, everything's all Persona all the time. Like, if I've got gaming time, it's Persona.
That's the thing, is I think there's more things overshadowed it for me last year. I'm the Lego person, right? And I love Lego games, but I just wasn't aching for a new Lego Marvel game because I'm a DC kid. Now, if they put out another Lego DC game, platinum away. You know what I mean?
Mm.
But one day, just like, it took me forever to play through Lego Marvel Super Heroes, I think, and even Lego Marvel Avengers I might have sat on for a while. So one day, I'm sure I'll pop up and be like, oh, I want to play as Spider-Gwen and myself, Howard the Duck. But until then, no. For now, let's squad up. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice. We read it here on the air. The best friends come and find you. Everyone plays games together. Patrick writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and needs help on his PlayStation 3. His PSN name is St. Patrick, or I'm sorry, St. Pat, but the I in Saint is a one. I have a weird throwback request for you. Nope. I have a weird throwback request, but it's for trophies, so Greg will understand. I'm one trophy away from the Assassin's Creed Brotherhood Platinum on the PlayStation 3. Yes, 3. It's been on my trophy list of shame since it came out because I only need the Abstergo Employee of the Month trophy, which requires at least 3 other people. Thank you to any best friends who are willing to help. Everyone who has Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, hit up St. Pat. Again, the I in Saint is a 1. And help him out. Guy needs his platinum, Gary Witta. You know?
PlayStation 3, though, it's tough. I mean, I know there's still people out there, but is the PlayStation 3 still a thriving?
Is that thriving? Community? That's why he needs people. Now just dust off. Yeah, Gary, what, you know? Come on, step up to the plate.
I would have to pull the PS3 out of the closet because that's where it's been for quite a while now.
Come on, tough guy, do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
I think I've still got like the big ass piano black launch PlayStation 3. Remember that thing? It was massive.
Oh,
yeah,
the big fatty, the George Foreman grill looking motherfucker.
The 60 gig one, I think it was. Was it 60 gigs? There was a 20 and a 60.
If you're watching the show live, you need to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screwed up as we screwed it up. Today, our corrections read like this. Capitalist Pig hit us up, said Saints Row Get Out of Hell came out in 2015, not 2016, like Greg stated. It was free for PlayStation Plus users in 2016. Maybe that's where the confusion came from. I meant to say 2015, but I must have fucked it up. Abrax says, in the list of games out today, Greg called Trials of Cold Steel. How dare you? No, I still don't care. Still don't care about this game that was a Vita game that's now on PC. People are talking about Easter. I don't think that's going to. Here we go. Lord of Pwn says, Koch Media is pronounced like caw with a phlegmy bit at the end. So it's a soft CH.
Caw.
Oh, no.
Like Klingon.
Caw. Cock. It's a cock. Okay, got it. Capitalist Pig says Dota versus League of Legends numbers. According to Valve, in 2016, Dota 2 had 16 million players monthly. According to Riot Games, in 2016, League of Legends had 100 million monthly players.
There you go. So a very big gap. I was actually right about that.
Dota 2 is the closest competition League of Legends has. You nailed them.
Yes.
Good job, Gary.
Closest, but not. It's not close.
Now, Kosho 969 says, my name is Pablo Koch, and I've lived 22 years of my life with my last name pronounced wrong. The CH is pronounced as an H in the word happy. So Koch. We don't, yeah, sorry, we can't do it. Editorializing, don't give a shit. Kebabs. Not kebabs, because he said it's kebabs.
He writes in a lot, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He's really good. Him and Capitalist Pig are all over. It does not appear that the CEO of Incel Games threatened to fire employees for not reviewing their latest game. He does say, buy the game or explain to me tomorrow why you do not wish to do this. I would like to discuss this individually in private with each of you and will follow up.
Not cool.
Yeah, not cool at all.
What else? I feel like there was a couple of things, other things that we kind of dangled the carrot of maybe we're wrong here. I don't know.
I think they're hitting the big ones, right? Dangle that carrot. No, I don't care about this new release. No, I don't care about that. No, it's fine. No, don't do this. No, no.
If I'm listening to the podcast right now in the car, I'm slamming that skip forward.
I feel like this is where we lose a lot of people anyway. Yeah. You know what I mean? Your wrong's a tough one, and we're running late, so I was just trying to speed it up here. And then Ryan says, not quite breaking news, but Sea of Thieves is having a scale test this weekend, February 16th
to February 18th. That's the next thing. When they're talking about like how fun it is to get together with a group of friends and play online.
Yeah.
I haven't tried it yet, but I feel like Sea of Thieves, because everyone seems to be having such a great time with it, that could be the next one of those.
We'll see.
Do they have an actual release date for that yet, or are they still like trying to figure out when the bugs are all going to be out of the system?
I don't think they do, but I don't remember.
People keep telling me it's a great time, even in the beta. So
we'll
check it out.
I think that Game Pass preview will help it out a lot, or Game Pass.
Oh, that's right.
It'll help it out a lot, but I don't know. I still think it's going to be. I see the power shift. Don't worry, Kevin. Keep eating your chocolate. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. for Valentine's Day 2018. Thank you so much for watching. Remember, you can be part of the show at kindoffunny.com/KFGD. You can watch it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or you can listen on podcast services around the globe. Tomorrow's host, Easy Allies, Michael Huber, up here doing a show with me. Like I said, doing the Gamescast with Tim. Remember, you can watch the Gamescast live on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames tomorrow for $1. You can also watch the PlayStation VR show debut episode tomorrow for $1. patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. I want to talk about it. Either Super Hot or Megaton Rainfall. I feel like Super Hot, there's a lot of videos out, but it's funny. Megaton Rainfall, not as many videos, but I don't think as funny, but a good entertaining. I need to figure it out.
Scary looking butthole.
It is a scary looking butthole. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.